Since 1995, Alabama's sports talk leader, Tiger Communications, proudly presents Sports Call. It's time to join our Sports Call crew as they discuss the latest headlines and happenings around Auburn and the entire sports world. To be part of the show, give us a call at 334-887-3401 locally or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. We're taking phone calls all show long and want to talk about whatever you've got on your mind. And now, coming to you live from the loveliest village on the plains, Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Welcome, Auburn, into this Tuesday edition of Sports Call, live on Tiger 95.9, the Tiger.fm, and the Tiger Communications app. My name is Ryan Lavoie, the host of this show. Today, I'm joined by Brooks Childress and our intern, Tyler Coleman, with us for the first time here in the spring semester. Excited to have Tyler on the program. Well, this is a shorter show today, as we will only be on air until about 4:15 as Beauregard High School baseball coming your way right here on Tiger 95.9 starting at 4:30. So that is why we will have a shortened show. We will also have a shortened show of a similar time and length on Thursday. So keep that in mind as well. So we have a lot to get to here in this shortened edition of the show. Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer will be joining us at 3:30 today. So Ferg will talk to us about Auburn's draw in the NCAA tournament and what the Tigers can expect out in Spokane, Washington in their first couple of matchups, hopefully first couple matchups in Spokane. And then also in this short show, trying to get to birthdays and sports, and again, more NCAA tournament bracket breakdown as, again, it technically starts tonight with the first four, a 16-16 matchup, and then one of the last four end matchups between Colorado State and Virginia. So basketball aplenty over the next week or so, and basketball aplenty here on this Tuesday edition of the show. Again, a shortened show. If you want to give us a call today, 334-887-3401 locally or toll-free 1-888-9-TIGER-9. Again, Ryan Brooks and our intern, Tyler Coleman. We'll start with you, Brooks Childress. I hope you are well on this Tuesday afternoon. We've been enjoying some press conferences today. Some of Auburn's finest coaches have been having different meetings with the media today. Been at some of those, and again, I hope your Tuesday's been going well.
It is well. It's a beautiful Tuesday outside. Nice weather. A little on the chilly side, but it feels like winter's last grasp at the Auburn Opelika area is in full effect here. But yeah, it's been a busy day. Had Bruce and Johnny to start things off in the morning, and then Hugh Freeze this afternoon to update everybody on spring football practice. And so it's a busy time on the plains. A lot of stuff to discuss, a lot of stuff to talk about around the world of Auburn athletics and around the sports world. The NCAA tournament starts things off tonight. The first two of the first four happened tonight, and so that's going to be super exciting to sit down and watch some basketball. And you know, you mentioned we got a short show today because we got some high school action going on this afternoon. So can't wait to be a part of those broadcasts here coming up in just a little bit, and can't wait for to get this show rolling.
Absolutely, and again, as mentioned, our intern Tyler Coleman is joining us for the first time on the program. You have heard him with one Beauregard broadcast so far this year. You will hear him certainly with some more of those, and you'll hear him on this show a little bit more in the coming weeks as well. But Tyler, good to have you here on this Tuesday. How are things in your world?
Oh, it's good to be here. You know, it's good. It's filled with sports right now, and I mean, ready to watch some basketball.
Absolutely. And so let's talk a little bit about the NCAA tournament. We'll get to a phone call here in just a couple minutes. And then again, Justin Ferguson joining us at 3:30. But guys, we spent a lot of yesterday looking at Auburn's draw in the bracket in the East Regional with UConn as the one seed. Of course, Auburn will take on Yale on Friday for the first game of their NCAA tournament, and hopefully not the last. You've got San Diego State and UAB as the 5-12. But I want to kind of extend it out to you guys a little bit with the bracket as a whole, because we really deep dove on Auburn's yesterday. In your opinion, kind of power rank these four regions for me, what you feel on paper might be the toughest of the four brackets, and on paper what you think might be the easiest of the four brackets?
Well, I think, for at least for me, I think the obvious toughest one is the one that Auburn is in. And I know that's going to sound a little biased, but you've got the number one overall seed in there. The top four seeds with Iowa State, Auburn, and Illinois all won their conference tournaments. All have been very, very good good programs here over the last few years. Iowa State, a team that, you know, a lot of people were looking at maybe pushing to a one seed at the end of their conference tournament. Auburn was, you know, maybe pushed toward a three seed. But it was it's interesting. I think that's a very tough bracket to put to put it in. Man, I guess I would have to go with, just for the fact that Houston is at the very top, I would go with that as the second toughest. You got teams like Texas Tech in there. You've got a Florida team who I think is a team that could make a run to a deep into the tournament. I don't know if they make a Final Four. I think that'd be a little bold to predict, but I think they've got a team with the Florida Gators that they can make a run at least that second weekend. The two seed out of that one is
Marquette.
Marquette's a very good program. I know they, you know, the couple times they've gotten really big national attention when they've played UConn, they've kind of come up a little flat, but I think that speaks more to what UConn is as a basketball program as to rather than what Marquette isn't. And then I'm going to go with the North Carolina regional that is the number three, and I think Purdue's bracket's number four. I think that you look at, you know, North Carolina is a very good basketball program. I think you've got teams like Alabama that are in there that can cause some chaos. You've got Arizona, who's a very good basketball program as well, in that bracket. I think that's very tough. And then you look at the why I put number four as Purdue is not because of Purdue. I think Purdue is a very good basketball program, but it was something we were talking in the office earlier. Tyler, you actually brought it up when we were sitting at the conference table, the quote unquote lunch table. It was the fact that you could see realistically a team like McNeese State upsetting of Gonzaga and a team like Samford upsetting a team like Kansas. And that would set up a, you know, two double-digit seeds playing each other in that round of 32. The fact that that is when I look around at some of these, that is one of the few instances that I can see a matchup of two double-digit seeds coming out and at least getting to the second round and playing each other out of the rest of the bracket. I think that shows you that could be probably the weaker of them, where the teams on paper, you would think Purdue, Kansas, Gonzaga is a tough region, but both of those teams have kind of looked flat this year. They've kind of looked, Purdue is the one excluded, but you know, teams like Kansas, teams like Gonzaga have looked not like themselves this year. Tennessee's in that region too. And Tennessee, we've talked about all year, has been a very good team. Bruce Pearl said it though, in his presser today, since they won that SEC title, they are 0-2. And yeah, they've lost to a Mississippi State team that's in the tournament and a Kentucky team that is, you know, pretty good. They're also they're a three seed in the tournament. They're a good team. They were a top four seed in Nashville. But since winning that SEC regular season championship, they're 0-2. And so you've got to, Bruce said it in the context of, you've got to make sure that just because you won a championship doesn't mean you stop, you know, playing basketball the way you have. You know, I think that the fact that you look at them, maybe they've hit some sort of wall here at the end of the season. And so I think by far and away the number one, though, is the Auburn, UConn, Illinois, Iowa State, just because those top four is such a good group.
I agree as well. I think the UConn side is definitely the hardest. But then the Purdue is kind of like a question mark to me, because it's not about, like, you know, Purdue's good and you know Kansas has the ability to be good, but it's also the McNeese State and Samford and even Oregon, like, those teams are very good. And so it's almost, are you questioning the ability of the lower seeds, or are you saying that the higher seeds are actually better? Like, you got South Carolina. I mean, they're good, but Oregon is, even though they're an 11 seed, they're very good as well. So, I mean, it's kind of a question mark to me on, is the Purdue side weaker, or is it the 12 and the 13 seeds are looking better than you know, than the other side, I guess, would be.
You know, I think that's a good point, because I guess what we're asking here is what does it, what determines a tough region? Is it the top three or four teams being the best, or is it having great potential upset bids? I do think it is more of the former, where you have to look at what the top four or five projected teams are, because realistically, as great as some of these mid-majors might be and some of the runs they might make, which makes this tournament so special, again, you look at a piece of paper and it tells you how formidable some of these top teams are and how many of them are present. That can determine how tough your ride, your road to the Final Four is. And I think that the weakest bracket to me is still, as you guys said, the Purdue bracket. And look, I do think that some of it is like, okay, you got to respect these lower seeded teams, but I would say that you also respect the lower seeded teams because you see there's a weakness in the topper team, in the top teams, excuse me. And when we look at some teams like Auburn and you're looking at teams like Illinois, you don't feel as great about those upsets a lot because of Illinois just winning their conference tournament, Auburn just winning their conference tournament. If you want to go Iowa with two seed, Iowa State winning their conference tournament in the Big 12. So to me, when you see Gonzaga, who ends up getting to a five, Gonzaga 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, people were saying, are they on the bubble? Are they going to end up missing the tournament? And, you know, they went ran through the WCC for the most part, with the exception of Santa Clara pretty much. But basically, they got so little out of their non-conference that there was some doubt if they'd even make the tournament a month ago. That's not hyperbole. They were on Joe Lunardi's bubble a month ago, and now they're a five seed? I'm not sure that's the five seed that puts the fear of God in the people. Kansas had all the instruments to be one of the best teams in the country this year, and maybe there's a world with 100% health where they would have been. But they've not been healthy. And in fact, it's their two most important players that have not been healthy, Kevin McCuller and then Hunter Dickinson as of late. If you tell me they're playing, that's great. But if they're only 75 or 80%, Kansas can't be what it's capable of being. And then we know that Purdue can be vulnerable in this tournament, as they were to an extreme, lost to a 16 seed last year. And then you go down the line, Tennessee has had problems in March. Now, I think this year will be different for them because of Dalton Connect. But if you want to say Tennessee is an underachiever in March, you would be right. And then you look at three-seeded Creighton, and I really like Creighton, but people that have studied them will tell you that's one of the shallowest teams in the field. They only have four, maybe five good players, and they only play six or seven. Their starting lineup's awesome. Their starting lineup, pound for pound, can go against just about anybody. But they don't have anything besides that. So, and it's very similar to last year's team, by the way. Their starting five was really good. That got them to the Elite Eight, but they had no depth. So if they get an injury or they get in foul problems, they have two guys that are not shooting it well, there's not room for error all of a sudden, just with one or two unfortunate things happening. So that, to me, is what I would pick at, too, as the weakest. And I do agree with the difficulty of the UConn, Iowa State, Illinois and Auburn side of things. I do think that some of the teams maybe vying for upsets might be a little weaker. Like, I'm not sure if Duquesne as an 11 is a great 11. You know, I'm not sure. I mean, I guess you could go with someone like Drake, but is Washington State great at 7? So I think there's some holes in the middle of the seating there, but I think the top is so dang good. You know, no, so I was not going to say UAB's weak, because UAB's not weak and they're great. There are some weaknesses in the middle of the seed lines. But heck, even I would tell you Florida Atlantic, they were in the 8-9 last year against Memphis. They end up in the Final Four. Obviously, San Diego State is a 5 this year. They end up in the championship game. So even teams that are not the brand names have had some recent success. So it is very fascinating. We do need to talk more about that. But also, before we get to Justin Ferguson, we do need to go ahead and grab a phone call here on the Orthopedic Clinic phone line, 334-887-3401 locally, or toll-free 1-888-9-TIGER-9. First up this afternoon,
Wardamn Steve.
Retired Wardamn Steve is with us. Steve, how are you today?
I'm doing good, gentlemen, and welcome to the show, Mr. Tyler Coleman. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay, royalty, man. So, look, you guys have got to get in the car as soon as this show's over to make it to Spokane by Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, we're going to get going.
Okay, all right. So with that, guys, I know time is short, so let's get to it. You know, yesterday I told you these stations, South Station or NCA, came up with the odds of having a perfect bracket. Well, I'm going to give you two more of what is comparable to doing that in some other sports. So going ahead and getting a perfect bracket is comparable to, guess what, an NFL quarterback completing 96 consecutive passes.
All
right. You guys know what the NFL record is right now for most completed passes in a row?
Oh, I don't know. Is it something in the 30s?
Pretty close. Very good. It's 25.
25, okay.
Okay. Another one, sports analogy. This would be comparable to a Major League Baseball hitter smashing a homer in 17 straight at-bats.
Oh, my
Major
goodness.
League Baseball record right now is what?
I wouldn't think more than about 5 or 6.
Pretty close. Are you reading stuff ahead of time?
No, it's just educated guesses.
Okay. 4.
4.
4
okay.
is the record.
Yeah.
All right, then I'll leave you with this one. This is comparable to a professional pitcher striking out 31 batters in a row.
Ooh.
What is the Major League record right now for doing that?
15, 16?
Pretty close. 10 in a row is the record.
10. Okay.
All right. How about a shout-out to a big damn shout-out to Mr. Wardam Janiah Broom, a AP third-team All-American.
Yes, sir. Great honor.
Great honor. He earned it. He earned it. And I did not know how really good he is, guys, until I read this. But he is the second, he's number 2 in college basketball in overall plus-minus behind only who? Zach Edey.
There you go. There you go. He's been awesome.
And he's also number 4 nationally in player efficiency rating among all players.
Yeah, and we figured that stat because obviously he does not get the minutes that some other guys get in their position, but he makes the most of them.
Yeah. Speaking of that, he became the first SEC tournament MVP to play less than 25 minutes a game since 2003.
Yeah. That's special.
That's how darn good he is. So, guys, if he leaves us, we're going to really miss him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would be a big hole to fill for sure. And, again, little did we know he'd have this kind of impact. We knew that it was a very important transfer at the time coming from Morehead State. But, he's turned into literally an All-American. So,
and he was unknown at Morehead State.
Yeah, and look, some of these guys are. You never know which portal guy coming from a smaller school is going to be the one to absolutely ignite a team. And to be fair, look, this is an incredibly balanced team, and it's deep, and it's good for many, many reasons, but Janiah Broom is chief among them.
And Steve, I know this Chad Baker Mazar, I'll read some of his comments today. He says he loves being in Auburn, he loves the chance, the opportunity that he's been given. So that's another, to me, I didn't know anything about Chad until he came to Auburn. Did you guys know about him?
Well, I mean, we discussed it on the show, and we said this guy could shoot, and we knew he'd be able to help Auburn stretch the floor. But what we were surprised with, or at least I have been surprised with, is that he's been able to be pretty darn good going towards the rim, too. I mean, he's able to have a little bit of a runner that is successful. He's able to pull up in the mid-range and be successful. Surely did not know about all the energy and passion and fire that he plays with, but we did know he could shoot, and we did expect him to be around that 40% number, which he is, but he certainly has done even more for the team than that.
And stay with our team real quickly. I saw the reverse video today of Tiger Walk, and the crowd was pretty big. And what really impressed me is they took the time, guys. There was a little 3 or 4 year old little boy there that was constantly going up to the players that was coming out of the complex and getting a high five from them, you know. And it was Aiden Holloway bends down and gives him a hug.
Yep.
And then Janiah Broom gives him a high five, and so I mean, these guys are not like self-centered. No. They took the time to do that with these kids.
Yeah, no, that was very cool, and that kid got very, very excited after Aiden Hall.
Oh, yeah,
hugged
he kept going. Yeah, I got him. So he was hollering away. All right, real quickly, guys, do you happen to know, according to ESPN's article today, how much money is being wagered on NCAA basketball tournaments this season? The estimate is, it astounded me.
No idea.
You're not gonna take a guess.
Gosh, 30 million.
It's in the, It's in the billion.
Billion. Never mind that.
I mean, a couple billion, I don't know.
$2.72 billion is estimated by NCAA of the wages is going to be made.
Wow. Wow.
All right. And finally, guys, yes, I do really mean finally. What happened today in college basketball that was made history in 1966 in the NCAA final men's tournament?
Texas Southern.
Texas Western at the time.
Or
right?
Texas.
Tyler?
Yeah.
Yeah. Texas Tyler, Western. Yeah.
Who now is known as UTEP, right?
Yep.
Yep. They defeated who? Kentucky.
Yep.
72-65. And what was even more astounding is they were the first NCAA basketball team that was all black, starting five.
Yep. That was, I believe the movie Glory Road was about
right.
That one. That was a good one.
Yeah. So yep. The white guys didn't have a chance. All right. And finally, this is for Matt. Matt, I know you like trivia, so I'm going to give another trivia today. What is the name of one of the most famous U.S. military generals in the U.S., okay, that had War Eagle painted on his Jeep? In fact, a movie was made in his name. That's for you, Matt. All right, guys, thank you for your time. I'm looking forward to listening to Mr. Jesse Ferguson's comments, and we'll talk to you again hopefully tomorrow. Until then, guys, War Eagle.
War Eagle, Steve, appreciate that phone call. That is retired War Dam Steve joining us on the Orthopedic Clinic phone line. And that is going to lead us to our first break of the show today. Coming up on the other side of this timeout, Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer will join us. We'll talk all things Auburn basketball next. This is the Tuesday edition of Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
Stay tuned. You're listening to the multi-time Abby Award-winning Sports Call.
Now back to Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Welcome back to Sports Call, Tiger 95.9. Ryan Lavoie, Brooks Childress, Tyler Coleman with you here on this Tuesday edition of the program as we get set to go back to the Orthopedic Clinic phone line where we welcome on Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer for our weekly chat. Ferg, as always, we certainly appreciate the time. How are things in your world?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Doing very well. And, of course, before we get into what's ahead, which is a very long trip for the Tigers and for those covering the Tigers, let's get to what happened this past weekend in Nashville. 3 wins in 3 days, the second SEC tournament championship for Bruce Pearl at Auburn. Ferg, what stood out to you as the Tigers made this run and maybe in particular about those last two with Mississippi State and with Florida?
Yeah, it was a super impressive weekend for Auburn. I think it was kind of the culmination of what this team has been built around this year and their kind of identity. And you saw the strengths of that identity come out in the SEC tournament. And the big thing is the depth of this team and the balance of this team. You come into a tournament where you get a double bye, right? And you don't have to play as many games as the other teams that you played. You can take advantage of that. You're a fresher team. You're a stronger team. You haven't had to rely on one guy, one or two guys all year long. And so what happened is on Friday, you go and hammer South Carolina. The game looked very similar to the first time you played them, just because Auburn was an incredibly rough matchup for South Carolina, and they took full advantage of it. And then, you know, you had the flies start dropping there. You know, Tennessee loses. You know, Kentucky loses. Alabama loses. And then all of a sudden, Auburn's the last team in the field after just one day where, you know, they have that rest advantage. So they play Mississippi State, and they grind them out and win that game. And then they play Florida, and, you know, a Florida team that was red hot on offense. You know, they just could not keep up with Auburn, and Auburn rotated them and played just incredible defense on an awesome offense and kind of warmed down over time and never really gave them a chance to come back. So, I mean, it was peak Bruce Pearl basketball. It was, you know, when you look at a team that plays 10 deep, you look at a team that shares the ball like they do, you look at a team that, you know, shares minutes like they do, you look at a team that's as close as this one is with its chemistry on and off the floor, they were built to win a tournament like that. And you know, it was a perfect setup for them. They took full advantage of it. And it's great because you never know what you're going to get from the selection committee in the tournament. And as we found out, Auburn didn't get very many favors from them. But, you know, you don't want to have to just bank on, hey, what happens in the field of 68 is what you get at the end of the year. This team played really well all year long and deserved a banner, deserved a ring, and they're going to get one before they even go to the big dance, which is a great accomplishment.
Justin, when you look at the performance this past week up in Nashville for the Tigers, two guys that really stood out this week that really haven't been in the spotlight was Chaney Johnson and Chris Moore. Talk about their contributions to the team, especially this past week.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Chaney Johnson had his breakout, you know, when Auburn lost at Florida a little over a month ago. Chaney, you know, nearly had a double-double, and that was the beginning of the light really coming on for him. You talk about a guy who had to make a transition from D2 to D1. It took him a little while longer to get going, and it was a big jump up. But when it came on, it really came on. And the fact that, you know, Auburn was able to rely on him, he's a big, you know, really good shot maker. He's got a good mid-range game. He's a freak athlete, great rebounder, great defender. I think he's one of Auburn's best in both of those categories. And so you love having Jalen Williams out there. But if you can, you know, play Jalen Williams 20, 22, 24 really hard minutes a game and know that you're going to get, you know, 16 to 18 really quality minutes from Chaney Johnson, it just makes you a super dangerous team. So he's a guy who's worked hard, works extremely hard all year long, probably the hardest worker on a very hard-working team. And he got to benefit from that this weekend and played really well. And then Chris Moore, I mean, it was just the ultimate redemption story for Chris Moore this past weekend. You talk about a guy who lost his spot in the rotation because he just was not contributing on the offensive end much at all. And, you know, lost his spot. And then Lior Berman's in. Berman had been playing well. You know, he goes down with that injury. And so, hey, Chris Moore, you got to come back in the rotation. And he's played really well. He has, you know, stepped up. He's given you a few buckets a game, which is exactly what you need out of, you know, your ninth or tenth man in a rotation like that. He didn't miss a shot in Nashville. He continues to be, I think, probably one of the best on-ball defenders Auburn has. Great communicator, great rebounder, hustle guy, glue guy. Every team needs a Chris Moore. It's just Auburn needed a little more out of Chris Moore, you know, over these last couple of weeks. He stepped up to the plate. This is a guy who got challenged and really came through. And also, you look at the story, if you want to write the story of the weekend for Auburn, they go into the locker room against Mississippi State, and State had just been kind of smashing them on the boards. It was a close game, but, you know, Auburn just was not doing very well on the glass. Chris Moore comes in, challenges everybody, you know, he has a really fiery halftime speech and just challenges his teammates and himself to just step up. Auburn wins the second half battle on the boards. They win the second half. They win that game. So, I mean, huge, huge weekend for Chris Moore. You know, he doesn't have the stats for an MVP, obviously, from that kind of weekend. But, I mean, he was one of the most influential players Auburn had out there, even if, you know, he is not a star on this team.
And then, Justin, you know, Bruce Pearl met with the media today, and I want to take this, instead of looking at an opponent preview here for who they're going to face in the tournament, I want to look at introspectively at this Auburn team. Bruce talked about and compared it to the Tennessee after winning the regular season title a couple weeks ago at South Carolina, has lost two straight to Kentucky and to Mississippi State, two good programs, but they're 0-2 since winning that championship. What does this team have to do to not repeat what happened to Tennessee? Now that they've won a championship, they can go and, you know, win instead of losing in their next game, win.
I think it's a mindset thing. I think it's you got to be able to turn the page quickly, and I think this team is a very mature team. This is a very close team. This is a team that's very honest with one another. You know, it is one of the closest, probably the closest team I've ever covered, just up close. And I think that's the thing, is like they have to be, you know, vigilant about that. They have to look at this and say, hey, we won the title. We're gonna, you know, that's crazy, but we should be happy. But, you know, hey, we got no favors from the selection committee. We got to go to work. We got to go to the other side of the country to play Yale. And then if we win that game, you get either an upstart UAB team that's playing really well right now, or a San Diego State team that's played well all year long. And then if you happen to get out of that, you're probably playing UConn and Boston. So it's like, you know, for Auburn, you got to look at it and say, hey, this is, take it game by game, one game at a time. And I think they did a really good job of doing that. You look at, the response after they lost to Kentucky, after they lost to Tennessee as well down the stretch. They didn't look ahead. They just kind of took it one game at a time, took care of business, and got the job done. And then obviously caught fire, in Nashville even more. So I think this team has the mental awareness to just kind of say, hey, we got to make sure we don't fall into the same traps. And they've already been talking about it. So I'm not saying they're going to, guarantee to avoid an upset or, anything like that. But I do like the mental makeup of this team. And this is a team that takes everybody seriously. You don't, win almost every single one of your games this season by double digits if you don't just know how to take care of business.
And, of course, Ferg, a lot has been made about Auburn still being a four seed despite winning the conference tournament. Where are you on how much those conference tournaments should matter towards the resume and the argument Auburn had to be a three seed?
They should matter. I think they should matter. I'm not saying they should be the be-all, end-all, but I think if a team like NC State can play their way into the tournament, NC State, Oregon's another example, if they can play their way into the entire tournament by winning it, why shouldn't the teams that, are already in the field, shouldn't they get some boost as well by playing well down the stretch? And I think it's crazy, I mean, I think part of the problem is that, they don't want to punish teams that lose early in their conference, like a Tennessee or an Alabama or Kentucky, too much. And I get that, but I think it's more of just, help those teams that do well, give them a little bit more of a boost. I think Auburn entered that weekend as a four seed, and they left as the third four seed. Like that, it really didn't do much to them at all, unless the committee was thinking this was a five seed, which I wouldn't think that was the case, but who knows. And I think the other thing is just it's an indictment, I think, of the quad system, because, I get why it is in place, but it's kind of arbitrary too. Like, take for example, hey, Auburn's 3-7 and in quad one games. Ooh, that's bad. They should be a four seed. Well, they were one spot away from Mississippi State and South Carolina, both being two more quad one games. They could have been 5-7. They could have been a lot. I mean, it would have been very much close to what a three seed gets in this tournament, and it's just one spot. And honestly, if Auburn didn't beat South Carolina as badly as they did, that's probably a quad one game. I fail to see a scenario where you can look at a team's metrics and say, hey, this is a top five team in college basketball on a play-by-play basis, but they're 15th in our look because, they didn't have as many quality wins as we wanted. It's just the definition of a quality win gets skewed. They didn't give enough credit down the stretch of the year, in the postseason for the ones Auburn did pick up. So they got hosed. I mean, they absolutely got hosed. And also, I think UConn did as well, because how are you the number one overall seed in the field defending national champion? It's like, okay, the other three, top seeds in your region are the three champions of the three toughest conferences in the country. And that's just – it's a brutal draw for everybody involved. But Auburn's going to have to, go like they did 5 years ago when they were in the – in 2019. It's a tough road, but, you're going to have to beat them at some point.
He's Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us today on Sports Call. So, Ferg, when we do look at this first weekend for the Tigers, obviously Yale is up first, winner of San Diego State and UAB if Auburn wins. What challenges does this group of teams present to Auburn? Was what matchups should we be looking out for?
Yale's a team that is very Ivy League. And what I mean by that is they play a slow-paced brand of offense. They do not turn the ball over, and they – they know what they are. James Jones, the head coach at Yale, has been there since 99. He is the third longest tenured head coach in Division I basketball. Him and Mark Few are tied for the top spot. You know what you're going to get out of Yale. You know what kind of offense they're going to run. Their personnel is very similar to what we've seen in years past. Auburn played them 2 years ago here at Neville. The thing with that Yale team is just I think Auburn's just got to lock down and continue to play high-level defense. It's a Yale team that plays slow. They take care of the ball. I think Auburn, you know, Auburn's going to be a team that's going to give them a lot of trouble athletically, just try to disrupt them a little bit. If they play really strong, you know, mature, you know, disciplined defense, I think Auburn's going to have an easier time, you know, put them away. And I'm not saying they're going to just blow the doors off of them, but I don't like I don't love the matchup from Yale's perspective of trying to hang with SEC athletes for 40 minutes, especially a deep team like Auburn. The other thing with Yale, Yale barely plays its bench. They only go seven deep in their rotation. That is a tough, tough ask against this Auburn team. So, you know, I love that. You know, I think it's a very favorable matchup for Auburn, you know, in round one. Round two against San Diego State or UAB is interesting. That UAB team is not very good on defense. They got into the tournament with a whole lot of shot making, and so they'll have some weapons there, but they're a team that's given up a lot. We've seen Auburn kind of tear up some, you know, here, especially here recently, tear up some teams that are a little weaker on the defensive end. So, I mean, obviously that's a little bit more favorable. San Diego State's the opposite. San Diego State is an awesome defensive team. Jaden Ledee is one of the best two-way players in the country. You've got, you know, a team that went to the national title last year. They returned some guys off of that. So it'd be a really, really tough matchup, I think, in the second round. Auburn would be the favorite there for sure, but it is that is a much more even, you know, matchup. So, I mean, if Auburn gets out of Spokane and makes it to the second weekend in Boston, they're going to have to earn it because, you know, like I said, the committee did not give them any favors for winning that SEC title.
Ferg, have you ever been to the state of Washington, or is this going to check a new one off for you?
No, I have been to Washington. You know, last season when Auburn played Washington in Seattle, I did make the trip up there for that one. So I'm seeing the other side of the state of Washington. This Spokane is basically in Idaho, from what I can gather on the map. So it's going to be another part of the Pacific Northwest I haven't hit yet. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to being there. I'm looking forward to experiencing something new. Not really looking forward to the trip, you know, just the travel there in general. Long story short, unless you wanted to pay a bunch of money to get up to Spokane, you had to do what several of us on the beat are doing, which is we fly out of Atlanta tomorrow morning at 7 Eastern.
Oh, yeah.
Which means we're leaving here about 2 o'clock Central Time to try to get to the airport. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be a long day of travel. It's a very, very long flight. You know, it's a pain to get out there. And I know it's a pain even more, like, you know, I get paid to do this. It's a pain, I feel, though, for fans who want to get out there, for players' families who want to get out there. Those are the people you should feel sorry for sure, not some moron who's talking on the radio right now. You know, the thing here, though, is just I'm with Bruce Pearl. Like, you know, the NCAA, I know why they set up the regions the way they do, but there's just not very many good West Coast basketball teams right now. And so somebody gets screwed in this format, you know, pretty regularly now. This year was, well, 2 top 16 teams have to go to Spokane. Who are our last two? Hey, Auburn and Alabama. There you go. So it's pretty brutal. You know, again, I'm looking forward to covering the tournament. It's my favorite time of year. I love doing this. It's my favorite part of the job. But it's a grind, and it's a grind for everybody who's trying to get out there.
He is Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us today on Sportsville. So, Ferg, again, we know you're going to be out there in Spokane, so what can our listeners enjoy from the Auburn Observer this week?
Yeah, I mean, we got a ton of stuff up on the site from Nashville over the weekend. I wrote a story today, just the players and Bruce Pearl in their own words just saying what makes this team different than the rest they've had and that they've been on. I'm going to have a story up tomorrow on kind of Yale and the offense and Auburn's matchup there on the defensive end. You can go ahead and look at that. You know, we had a couple of podcasts recapping everything. Friends of the program came up today. So there's a conversation there that I was part of that was a lot of fun. And, yeah, I mean, I'll be heading to Spokane. I'll have coverage from there all week. You know, if Auburn goes to Boston, I'll be going straight to Boston from Spokane more than likely. So, you know, it'll be a fun time. And then also the Observer has a bracket challenge. If you want another bracket challenge to submit yourself into, just go to our website. We've got links and all that good stuff where you can, you know, join in there. So auburnobserver.com, sign up. We're still running that special. That's just $5 a month. It's really the perfect time to get in because you're going to get a ton of stuff from this NCAA tournament.
Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us today. Justin, as always, we certainly appreciate the time. We wish you very safe travels. Hope you have a lot of fun up there, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That is Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer joining us today on Sports Call. We're going to take one final timeout. Again, a short show off at 4:15. Last break of hour number one right here. Stay tuned. Sports Call returns after this.
We need a timeout. Sports Call will be back after this quick break.
This is Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, and you're listening to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
Welcome back to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9. Ryan Lavoie, Brooks Childress, Tyler Coleman, our intern for the semester, with us here on this Tuesday edition of the show. Our thanks to Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer for joining us right there. And guys, what really stood out to me there, I know we only have a minute or two, what really stood out to me is leaving at 2 a.m. to catch that flight in the morning. Does Nope. not sound like a good time. I think I've still never been on a plane. But I have traveled at wee hours in the morning driving before, and I can tell you this is driving. It is very peaceful. There's not much going on at 2 in the morning, or at least there shouldn't be on the roadway. But that's a lot, but you got to take advantage of the better prices, and for that reason, that's the move you got
to
make.
I would love to do the math and see if it would cost less to drive up there.
I mean, it might cost less.
And I know
what,
it's 30.
What was the round trip we saw? 600, 700 was the cheapest?
Yeah.
Of any of the sites we saw from Atlanta?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Here's the problem, though. You'd have to travel in a group and have your buddies take shifts, because if you stayed in a hotel once or twice on the way, then that would eat into your savings.
Yeah, you're right.
Because it was 36 or 37 hours. What did we say? It was a couple thousand miles?
Yeah.
So say your tank of gas goes 300 to 350 miles. You fill up, what's that going to be, seven times 300 is 2,100. Seven times, say it takes you $35 to fill up. I have a smaller car. It takes me less, but maybe it takes you $50 to fill up, $60. So seven times, say $50 for round numbers. That is, what, $350? So, yeah, I mean, you save at least $300 depending on the time that you bought your ticket and that sort of thing. But that's only one way. So, no, you don't save. That's only one way.
Yeah,
you don't save. Nope, you don't save, folks. Go in the morning. Just drive up there early in the morning and
catch flight.
Say goodbye to sleep. And, yeah, because it'd be $350 going both ways, so $700. So maybe there'd still be some ways you'd save $100 or $200 depending on the day, but. No, it's just
math.
A lot. There's math.
Math
call continuing here. This will be our final timeout of the show. Again, we're off at 4:15 because of Borgard High School baseball at 4:30. So this is our end of hour break, but only one more segment ahead. Stay tuned. Sports Call returns after this timeout.
One hour of our show is in the books. We've got more to come. Stay tuned for another hour of Sports Call right after the break. Since 1995, Alabama's sports talk leader, Tiger Communications, proudly presents Sports Call. It's time to join our Sports Call crew as they discuss the latest headlines and happenings around Auburn and the entire sports world. To be part of the show, give us a call at 334-887-3401 locally. or toll free at 1-888-9-TIGER-9. We're taking phone calls all show long and want to talk about whatever you've got on your mind. And now, coming to you live from the loveliest village on the plains, Auburn's first and Auburn's favorite sports talk show, Sports Call.
Sports Call continuing on this Tuesday afternoon. Tiger 95.9, Ryan Lavoie, Brooks Childress, and our intern Tyler Coleman. This is the final segment of the show for the day, as Beauregard High School baseball will come your way in less than a half hour. So we've only got about 10 or 12 more minutes left on this program today. Real quickly, we do want to mention our birthdays in sports today, although we're not going to go through the entirety of the bios, but three-time Super Bowl champion head coach Andy Reid of the Kansas City Chiefs turning 66 today. Great stint with the Eagles. Didn't quite get them all the way there, but then comes to Kansas City, now three-time Super Bowl champ there, and trying to three-peat this year. Andy Reid, 66. David Ross is 47, former catcher, of course. Started his career at Auburn before transferring to Florida. Caught for a lot of different organizations in Major League Baseball and has also managed in Major League Baseball. He was the Cubs manager before they made the move to go get Craig Counsell. So David Ross is 47. The great Clayton Kershaw is 35, still pitching for the Los Angeles Dodgers. For my money, one of the best lefties of all time. He has had postseason travails, though. But multi-time, three-time to be exact, Cy Young winner, and nearing 3,000 strikeouts, might be one of the last to get to some of these big milestones. He's over 200 career wins, a surefire Hall of Famer. Clayton Kershaw is 35, and former Auburn defensive end Dee Ford is 32. Of course, again, was on the 2013 team and company that went to the national championship game. He is out of Odenville in St. Clair County High School. Had a pretty solid career in the National Football League as well, predominantly with Kansas City. And there was one more. Quentin Nelson is 28, one of the best offensive guards or one of the best guards in the NFL. He is with the Colts and has been since he got drafted in 2018, came out of Notre Dame. So those are birthdays in sports today. Quentin Nelson's 28, Dee Ford 32, Clayton Kershaw, 35, David Ross, 47, and Andy Reid, 66. All right, so a few minutes left in the show. Again, our intern Tyler Coleman is with us. And guys, as we start to wind down, this will be Tyler's only appearance with us this week. So Tyler, I want to give you a couple minutes to go through some of the important things about your bracket, what big upset you got or multiple upsets, what are you confident in, who's your champ. Just give me all the good stuff about that bracket.
So I do have a good amount of upsets as of now. I mean, I am going to continue to adjust, I feel like, throughout, the early part of this week. The biggest one I have is Samford over Kansas. I just, with Kansas's injuries, I know they're going to probably play. I still think Samford can score at will, so I think that's just going to be the kind of the selling point on that. And then I actually have them playing McNeese in the second round after I think they take down Gonzaga. I'm just not, like you said earlier in the show, I think Gonzaga is definitely put at number five because of their name and what they've been the last couple of years. And I just don't think that is the same Gonzaga team. So that's kind of the reason why I have them two upsets going there. And in the same region, I have Oregon beating South Carolina. Once again, I don't think South Carolina, I think they played – you know, fairly good at the beginning of the year, but I think they've kind of been on a downward spin throughout the end of the year. And I think Oregon's playing pretty good ball now. I'm fairly confident that, in the one big upset I do have, I think James Madison is going to beat Wisconsin. I think James Madison is very good. I think it's going to be a good game. I don't want to, say Wisconsin's not good because I think they are, but I think James Madison could make a run. I do have Duke beating them in the second round, but I mean, like I said, I think Duke, is very good, and I think James Madison is one of the better teams. I think they just got put in a bad spot to play, Duke round two or round of 32. One game that I'm kind of very excited to watch is Nebraska and Texas A&M. I think the kid from Nebraska is probably one of the most fun players to watch in college basketball right now. It's one of those kids that you just kind of like to cheer for because he has fun with the game. And so, with that being said, I think Texas A&M is the better team. And they're just one of those teams that when you get to March, you have to be careful for. You know, after the run they made last year in the SEC tournament, and then this year, you know, getting the one big win that they needed, I feel like, to even maybe get out of the bubble and get into the tournament. They did that in the SEC tournament. One thing I do have UConn. I do have UConn taking down Auburn. And it's not because Auburn is a bad team. It's because I just think that UConn is a juggernaut. There's very few teams that can lose, I think, all five starters off of a championship team and come back and be the number one overall, you know, seed in a tournament. And I think that's very impressive. I have them in the Final Four taking on North Carolina. I think North Carolina is very good as well. I think they have the most – they have one of the most experienced teams, and I think that's going to do them well in the tournament. And then, so that's, you know, my one against one. And then in my South versus Midwest Final Four, I have Duke taking on Creighton. I think Duke is very good. I think they have one of the easier runs to come through, I believe. I mean, I think they're going to have to take down Houston. They would have to take down Houston, which I think – Iowa State kind of exposed Houston a little bit, and I think a team that's able to score on a well-defended team is going to beat Houston, because I don't believe Houston can score as well. Like the other day, they played TCU. I think they held TCU to 15 points in the whole first half. But when you look at it, most teams that hold a team to 15 in the first half usually are winning by 30, 40. I think they were winning by 15 or 20, and that just kind of shows that they – are not that great on the offensive side. And so I do have them taking on Creighton, and then I have Creighton going on a crazy run, and I have them making it to the championship game against UConn.
Heck yeah.
I just think that – I think they create a lot of mismatch with the length at the bigs, and I think their guards are very, very fundamentally sound, and we'll just see if the depth can hold on to go that far. And then, of course, you know, I have UConn beating them. I just think UConn's a juggernaut.
So they would be the first repeat champions there since Florida 06-07. We talked about that on the show yesterday. Yeah, it's the upsets are always fascinating. There's some that you coalesce around, and a lot of people start to pick, and you just never know. You know that there will be one, but you don't always know to what extent that team could make the run and that sort of thing. So you always kind of got to talk yourself into a few of them. I've still not made my bracket, to be truthful. I'm waiting until Wednesday night. I want to see these first four games and that sort of thing, and then really digest everything. But it's always a beautiful time of the year for sure. Brooks, can I interest you in some Virginia and Colorado State tonight? I'm not trying to get ahead of myself with the TV guide, but we do have first four games tonight in Dayton, Ohio. The Wagner-Howard game up first, which will be coming up about an hour and a half from now to start the NCAA tournament, and then Colorado State and Virginia.
I mean, you can interest me. I it's the NCAA tournament. I'm interested in anything and everything.
48-46.
I love it. I mean, it's, you know, you get a little action there. You really get to see, you know, a Colorado State team that was pretty high in the rankings for a Mountain West team earlier this season. They were a team that you thought was solidly in the field partway through the year, and then they kind of fell off a little bit. That Mountain West Conference is a fairly good basketball conference, and so they fell off a little bit, got here, and they're a team that is facing a Virginia team that I think a lot of people were asking, why did they get in? It felt like they got in after one of their wins, and their first win in the ACC tournament, and you're like, all right, fine, they're in. And then when they lost to NC State, you were like, everyone started like, okay, now they're out. This is it. Let's get somebody else in here. Let's get an Oklahoma or a Pittsburgh or a Seton Hall in here. Let's get somebody else in here. And the committee was like, no, we need this type of basketball in here. And you're like, well, you know, Houston is kind of running the same thing, and they're doing it a lot better this year. They're running a lot of defensive stuff. I'm like, no, we need more. We need more no-scoring basketball games. And so I think that's going to be really, really fun to watch tonight. The Wagner-Howard game, I think it's going to be really fun because those are two teams fighting to continue playing in the NCAA tournament. And it's always fun to watch the mid-majors battle it out to go with, have the right to play a number one seed.
Have the right to usually get just demolished, but there's more hope in recent years for the 16s. And never know, fall in love with a coach or a player you had no idea existed before.
And I think one other thing is when you're looking at these first four games, there's typically, you look back at the history over the past few seasons, there's typically one of these first four teams that makes it out of that first round, too, and they make it on into the round of 32. So could that be a Virginia if they get going? Could it be a Colorado State, or could it be one of the two teams tomorrow night?
Sure. Yeah, again, I think it was UCLA a few years ago, made a deep run. Syracuse, one of the first years they had, I think, made an Elite Eight or something like that. So it's happened a couple of times, and certainly there have been some that advanced at least one or two rounds, which would be an upset. So my favorite stat about Virginia, though, just how woeful some of this is, and it is woeful. As a team, they shoot 63.7% from the line. That is essentially like having 10 Jani Brooms shooting free throws. And Jani is great at a lot of things, but the one thing Jani is not as great at is free throws. He's around 60%. The whole team, 63.7%. That cost them in the NC State game. They missed a couple free throws, led to the three. And free throw shooting, that's why Virginia has not been Virginia this year. Because, yeah, their defense is really, honestly, every bit as good as it's been. I mean, it's still really good. But their offense, it's gone from not just kind of being neutral, like, okay, we're going to be slow, but we'll be somewhat efficient, to now they just actively lose games offensively. I mean, they score in the 40s from time to time, and it's just when it looks bad, it looks really, really bad for Virginia. I'm going to be interested to see. And I want to see the Mountain West. Like you said, they got a team tonight in Colorado State. They got Boise State tomorrow. It's a 5 or 6 bid league this year, and I like to see what that actually means for this tournament, and see if any of those teams can have a good tournament. Real quickly, time for a nightly TV guide with our shortened edition of Sports Call today.
Our show is about to end, but we've got you covered on entertainment for the evening. Here's Sports Call's nightly TV guide.
Our Sports Call nightly TV guide is presented by White Claw Hard Seltzer. Brooks, what do we have?
Two movie picks for you this evening. 6 o'clock on FX, Star Wars Return of the Jedi. Star Wars Episode 6 is on tonight. If you want some Star Wars action in your life, check that out. 6:30 on VH1, it's Red 2. Red is the movie where Bruce Willis is the retired spy, and then Red 2 is when he's still the retired spy, but they're doing more stuff as he's a retired spy. Feels like he's not retired, though, when you're in the movie.
Yeah, and you do it multiple times. Yeah. Like, you can get something to do something once, but you keep doing it again.
It doesn't feel like it's retired anymore. John Malkovich is also in that movie. NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament starts tonight. We mentioned it 5:30 on True TV, followed up at 8 o'clock, also on True TV, both games. We mentioned it, the 5:30 game is the 16 seeds Howard and Wagner going at it. Howard's a 3.5-point favorite in that one. And then at 8 o'clock tonight, number 10 seeded Colorado State, Virginia. Colorado State's a 2.5-point favorite over the Hoos. And then also, if you're not into the first four, the NIT tips off tonight. Not as important, but it's
very
still
fast.
You've got three games on at 6 o'clock. ESPN, Xavier visits Georgia. Cornell visits Ohio State on ESPN2. Boston College visits Providence on ESPNU. And then the late night tips, 8 o'clock on ESPN. It's Kansas State and Iowa, ESPN2, Richmond, Virginia Tech, and ESPNU. Minnesota Butler. And those are your United TV guide brought to reference at White Claw Hard Seltzer. Thank also, bonus pick for you. Auburn baseball plays South Alabama, WarEaglePlus.com, where you can stream that. Auburn softball takes on Troy tonight in a road game. That's on ESPN Plus. And there's your United TV guide brought to reference at White Claw Hard Seltzer.
Thank you very much for that, Brooks. And again, it is funny. NIT gets going about 48 hours after they pick and their teams decline invitations, and then they immediately just go at it anyway. But thank you for that, Brooks.
Yep.
We will see you again, if not later this week, certainly next week.
See ya.
And Tyler Coleman, thank you for being here, man. We look forward to talking to you again soon as well.
Yes, sir.
That will do it for this shortened edition of Sports Call on this Tuesday. Borgard High School Baseball is coming up your way in just a few minutes. So our thanks to Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer for joining us today. And as always, we appreciate all those that tuned in and called in. For Brooks Childress and Tyler Coleman, my name is Ryan Lavoie. Have a great Tuesday night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.